time once again for Community Forum. And we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Dr. Stephen Gilbert, Tom Buchanan, and Danny Noonan. And they're all with Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. Stephen Gilbert and Tom Buchanan are board members, and Danny Noonan is the program manager at WPSR. And we're going to be talking about the nuclear landscape here in Washington State. Steve, Tom, and Danny, thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Okay. Thanks for having us, Mike.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's start out. Tell us a bit about WPSR.
Well, WPSR is a local chapter of the National Physicians for Social Responsibility. And we work on a variety of issues, including environmental issues, chemical policy reform, and nuclear abolition, and global warming. But today we're going to be talking more about Northwest nuclear legacy. And Washington State's got an incredible legacy of all things nuclear, starting with Hanford, and the production of plutonium for the Cold War. And remember, the B reactor at Hanford created the plutonium that destroyed Nagasaki. We also have the Bangor submarine base, 20 miles from Seattle, just 20 miles from Seattle. We have the largest concentration of nuclear, one of the largest concentrations of nuclear weapons in the world. Those weapons, if Washington State, would be the third largest nuclear power in the world if we looked at it from that perspective. And then we have the Columbia Generating Station, which generates nuclear power and a whole lot of nuclear waste.
And one of the things that the formation of the Physicians for Social Responsibility was in 1976, right during and after the Three Mile Island accident. And we focused initially on the ground zero movement of what happens and who's prepared. It turns out that nobody is prepared for dealing with an atomic bomb and what the fallout would be. And we've built a combined issue of nuclear power, safe energy. There's been a number of issues since then. And those things are now grabbing a lot more of the attention of the population here in the Northwest. I think Hanford's probably up on top of the list because of its waste and because of what's people all recognize that there's something going on out there that we really are not proud of. But also we've got the reactor that Steve just talked about, as well as a whole education process, a whole process of how do we deepen our understanding of our nuclear age. And that's one of the things that Danny's part of.
And one of the things that PSR, the way we see it is that there's no cure for some of these problems. There's only prevention. And so that's why we have to work to prevent more creation of nuclear waste, prevent more nuclear weapons, because it's the only way that we're going to deal with this problem.
So Physicians for Social Responsibility has produced a number of reports. And we also, I want to mention that we collaborate with Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility also and work hard with them because they're also threatened by Hanford and nuclear weapons due to the Columbia River. But Physicians for Social Responsibility recently produced a report called Nuclear Famine, trying to put some perspective on a potential exchange of nuclear weapons between India and Pakistan. And if you look at that, it threatens over 2 billion people with starvation. So the nuclear war, potential for nuclear war, nuclear exchange is alive and well and a very serious humanitarian threat, global threat.
You know, one of the things that we have in our win column these days is how we helped negotiate the removal of 20,000 nuclear weapons from the stockpile, world stockpile, most of it from Russia, that was then converted and de-enriched. So this is weapons-grade material dissembled in a variety of places. Most of it was in Russia. And then we bought that material and brought it into our reactors in primarily this country. How much did that cost the American taxpayer? About $7 billion. Did it make the world safer? Yes, it did. The process of taking those weapons out of the stockpile, was a plus. And we helped cooperate, and we're still doing this in relation to negotiations that are going on now. The people that directed this nuclear material picked up over 500 tons of highly enriched weapon-grade material and then de-enriched it to 5% so that the nuclear reactors could handle it. And that was basically free fuel supplied by the U.S. taxpayers. Was that money well spent? We think it is, even though, you know, the whole process of nuclear weapons and the insanity of it is shown every once in a while in relation to the stockpile, which, of course, we have Bangor that's, quote, the most high tech of the weapons yield at Bangor. So we still have so much more weapons that are out there that are not removed from the nuclear stockpile that we're still on top in relation to mutual assured destruction, the MAD policy that's gone on for so long in terms of how people deal with nuclear war. And it's something that we can actually continue to de-escalate with.
We should remember we still have 17,000 nuclear weapons worldwide that we have not decommissioned, and we still have hair trigger alerts on site so that these people, these weapons will be launched in a few seconds. And we've had incidents of accidents that have repeated, and we really want to avoid that. We want to remove, and we should go to zero nuclear weapons worldwide.
And the leadership of, you know, the U.S. Air Force in relation to the alerts are now run by drunks. You know, we've had people that have been fired, and chiefs of staff and chiefs of the Air Force fired. So we know it's not just Yeltsin who's going to answer that red phone and possibly be drunk and push the button, but also our own leadership. So it's a very important issue, and we're actively involved with that.
I mean, nuclear weapons are left over from the Cold War, and the threat to the United States, any threat to the United States, isn't this Cold War mentality. And a lot of people are more afraid of weapons being in the hands of terrorists, and so the way to prevent it is to get worldwide weapons down to zero, because if you have them in countries that don't have a stable government, there's more likelihood that they'll fall into the hands of people who would use them, because no government would be insane enough to use them, because they know there'd be too much of a retaliation.
Well, the Trident submarine should remember to have 96 nuclear weapons on board, each one 10 to 30 times the power of the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. So they could have create a nuclear famine. Just one nuclear submarine would have irreparable humanitarian consequences worldwide.
And as previous accidents have and incidents have demonstrated, a lot of times the officials in charge of launching these aren't clear who is doing what when there's a blip on the radar coming in,
right,
and they're trying to interpret it. And so obviously this can spiral out of control very quickly.
Yeah, and there's just no reason for us to be on hair trigger alert. And even have the number of nuclear weapons and the enormous cost that we put into that. There's work to redo the bombs, the B-1 bombs that are used. There's work to re-engineer the Trident submarines. We have 14 Trident submarines. Many of them come and go out of Bangor. We just don't need this stuff as well. We don't need the waste that's generated by Columbia Generating Station.
I mean, especially at a time when, you know, every single day in the news, it's our government trying to figure out how to spend less money. No one ever talks about dismantling our nuclear program, which is one of the costliest parts of our government.
So one of the ways that our nuclear weapons program gets its plutonium and fuel is from nuclear reactors. And I don't think a lot of people are aware that Washington State has its own nuclear reactor over there at the Hanford Reservation. Can you talk about that?
It does. The Columbia Generating Station has been there for almost 30 years now, generating nuclear power. It was part of the old WHOOPS program, where many of those bonds were now went in default, and we're still paying off those bonds. But the Nuclear Generating Station is an old-style, Fukushima-style Mark II GE reactor, with many of the vulnerabilities, and Washington physicians for Social Responsibility, along with Oregon Physician for Social Responsibility, produced two reports, one on earthquakes and one on economic report showing it was not viable.
You know, one of the things about the Mark II reactor, the GE design reactor, that basically they went to Japan and changed everything, the GE engineers, and installed these. And I thought that, Japan followed an economic policy that was theirs, the Shogun independence philosophy, I thought, still reigned in Japan. It turns out it didn't. And the thing that's interesting about this is that they sold the Japanese a bill of goods in relation to the, just like they did us, around what the design of that reactor is. When you look at Fukushima's reactor, and when it finally went down and the water wasn't circulating, the heat that was left over, the actual fission process, was shut down immediately. All of them were shut down, but the overall heat that was still in that reactor, there's something like 187,000 horsepower worth of heat in that reactor because it's so hot, which is another whole issue around the efficiency of a nuclear reactor. It's very inefficient in one sense. So that reactor started boiling, that water, once it stopped circulating because of the loss of power. That reactor, just like the one out at Hanford, has a very small containment, even within the nuclear industry design. The Mark II is a very small container, and it was mass-produced, and GE said, listen, this is the way we're going to sell our reactors throughout the world. A lot of GE engineers actually went on public testimony and said, this is a dangerous style of reactor, and we need to stop this, and they wouldn't do it. So here we are now, 2014, and we have a reactor that's aging, like Steve said. It's going to reach its 30th year. They've got a license extension now to 2030. They've got a license that long in the future. And yet we have a lot of corrosion issues, a lot of safety issues, a lot of problems with this design reactor now that we know in much more detail. What does that all mean? It means that we have also updated earthquake studies that have gone in the eastern part of the state. That's new information. We have the flooding potential and some of the ID around flooding that's happened on the Columbia. That's relatively new. And we have a new study that we've helped sponsor with Oregon PSR by McCullough Research, the guy that put the finger on the Enron boys, smartest guys in the room strategy when they were manipulating the spot electric market in California. That was actually handled by Senator Maria Cantwell, and they were fingered and they had them shut down. Well, these same people, what are we talking about? Utility economists and engineers are manipulating the BPA, and they're manipulating prices and estimates. So what McCullough did, he said, actually, he's not a anti-nuclear person. He's a research economist and a lawyer down in Portland. He calculated with this study that we're losing, as ratepayers, about $20 million a year for the last 5 years, each year, in relation to how much more that reactor is costing in terms of electric production than the standing market test rates. That we could get the power, we could get it from other production, and we'd even be able to build a gas-fired facility somewhere on the West Coast here and make it more available, all within a process of saving $200 million a year. His calculation, finally, is by the year 2017, the Northwest would save $1.7 billion in rates if we had CGS shut down in 2015, and that's what he's recommending. So that's just an example of what kind of study, a data-driven economic study, nothing to do with the actual safety issues or the earthquake issues that this research project is bringing to the fore, and it's creating a conversation, especially within the utility community.
So $200 million
a year.
Spending.
A year.
Overspending on this.
And that shows up in our basically our utility bills.
Right.
And people talk a lot about how, you know, supposedly green nuclear power is, but the problem is that they're only talking about what's happening at the reactor. The process actually starts in a uranium mine, which mining uranium is a very, very dirty process. And then at the other end, you have highly irradiated spent nuclear fuel, which there's no place in the United States to permanently store this stuff. Every once in a while, Yucca Mountain comes up as a political issue, but it's never going to happen. And every state that has nuclear power has all these spent fuel rods that are just waiting for a problem to happen with them, which...
Yeah, just talk a little bit more about the potential for earthquake out there at the Columbia Generating Station. You know, we produced a report showing that the Columbia Generating Station has not been upgraded to protect against earthquakes. When the Hanford site, they have a vitrification plant that's supposed to turn the waste in these tanks. There's 177 tanks, 53 million gallons of waste out at Hanford. And the vitrification plants have turned them into big salt logs. But they went back and retrofitted the vit plant over concern about earthquakes, and the CGS is right there on Hanford grounds, but they have not gone back and retrofitted the Columbia Generating Station. So our notion is that they should do this, produce the cost, how much is it going to cost, and if you factor that in, that station is not economically viable. And the bottom line is there's just too many risks and not enough benefits to operate that plant. If there was an accident at that plant, it contaminated the field, it could contaminate where the tanks are, and we could seriously threaten the Columbia River.
It's interesting because here we have a DOE VIT plant that has upgraded. It's 10 miles away from the CGS plant. They're both close to the Columbia. And, of course, there's waste leaking into the Columbia that's not properly measured and tested by either the Department of Ecology and or the EPA, this tripartite agreement, and the DOE, U.S. DOE. So we have all this stuff that's out there, and we're adding more stuff with the CGS plant every year. Columbia Generating System, which is the old WHOOPS plant, is producing 50 tons of waste every year. And just like Danny said, that waste, just like every nuclear reactor in the country, is stored usually on site. Almost, you know, 99.9 is stored on site, and it's requiring water pumped around it 24 hours a day, every day of the year, and it has to be circulated. If it stops, that stuff heats up right away, and the zirconium alloys that are containing the fuel pellets that are in these rods start to spark, and they start producing hydrogen gas. And that stuff is so reactive, and that's what has produced the detonations and the blasts and the fires at Fukushima. That stuff, we have a big problem, way bigger than what the Japanese have at this point. We have more waste, more stored at site than they do, and they have more. We have more plants, of course, and we've had a longer history than they do. So it's a big problem, and the WHOOPS reactor out at Hanford is a big problem in that sense. We've got something over 10 years of highly radioactive waste that's right there now. They shift it around because it's hot. Then it starts to cool down. You can move it out, but they're all tightly packed together. It's like a cigarette pack that's ready to go off.
And I mean, one of the things is we have to start thinking long term. There's been too much short term thinking. And when it comes to nuclear power weapons, in the long term, there's no real plan for what to do with this stuff. And we need to start doing more renewable energy. Even if this plant doesn't have an accident, eventually it's going to go through all of its plutonium. That means more uranium has to be mined. And mining uranium is a very dirty process. And it's also a finite material. And so it's ridiculous that we're trying to get off of fossil fuels, but they're planning on replacing it with another finite material.
We've got plenty of renewable potential in Washington State. We've got wind power, we've got the oceans, and we've got solar. You know, Washington State could go nuclear free, and we've actually worked to shut down the coal fire plant down in Centralia 2025, which is a really good move because that plant produced a lot of mercury that contaminated our area. So there are ways. There's reports from the World Wildlife Foundation as well as Arjun Makajani's group that really documents that we can go renewable and nuclear free and coal free. So this is doable, and we need to be focus on doing that and moving away. Washington State should really be nuclear free. You know, we should stop using the Bangor sub base. We should shut down a nuclear plant and clean up the waste at Hanford.
One of the interesting things, their response to all this is the so-called nuclear renaissance that Obama talked about, especially during his first years in office and the first campaign that he did. He was pro-nuclear. He's from Chicago. They have a lot of nuclear plants in Illinois. He was part of that process of actually supporting that. Well, guess what? The second round and the second, his running for the second, his own position at president, he didn't say a word about the nuclear renaissance. And in terms of how many plants have been shut down this last year, 4 plants out of 104, we now have 100 plants that are operating in the United States. That's a big deal, having 4 plants shut down, actually. And some of these were not slated to be shut down for a long time, but they had so many problems. We think that nuclear renaissance is dead. And what they do, the nuclear industry, they cook up new technology. They're always talking about new plants. So the latest plan is SMRs, small modular reactors. And you mentioned Dr. Arjun Makajani. He's got a research institute called the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, IEER, and he talks about how ridiculous the plans that are on the drawing board, and there's a little prototype that's above ground that's down in Corvallis, Oregon. NuScale is one of the top people that got a bunch of grants to start developing this. By the way, they don't have any private money in it yet. And Westinghouse, as a supplier of SMSR plans as well as plants has stepped out of the SMR market, just did. Well, they're nervous because investors are starting to get nervous about this stuff. So they're expecting, with all of the new research, to have government and taxpayer support on this. So we're saying that there's enough evidence about SMRs to really question what happens. These are half-buried reactors. They're small. They have the same problems. They have zirconium pellets. They're burying it. That might actually make them safer for earthquakes. But what about floods? And what about all the stuff that you're replacing? They actually have a steam condenser that's usually on the outside of the containment, where the actual containment radioactive, that's inside on the new SMSRs because it's smaller. Well, how does that happen when you try and replace one of these things and it's radioactive because it's been inside the containment area? There's lots of problems with these things, and they just basically have thrown it all up and say, well, we're just going to work with this with the NRC. We're going to get it checked out, and we're just going to move ahead with safer, smaller, cheaper technology. We're not so sure that that's all safer, smaller, or cheaper.
Didn't the Washington State Legislature just okay a study?
They are trying to discuss it, and we're probably part of that discussion now, to the extent that initially it was just going to be the CGS owners that were going to be part of that discussion. Now it looks like that PSR and other environmental groups will be invited to the table when they have the discussion. So far we haven't had the written study yet. It's languishing right now. We'll see if we get the discussion, whether this and really it's a non-financial bill, but it's a discussion, and we want to be part of that discussion if it happens.
Well, there was some discussion of having $500,000 used to study the possibility of building these small modular nuclear reactors in the Hanford area. And I think I'd urge all of us to talk to our representative and find out more information about these bills and about the subsidies that go into nuclear power. You look at how much is subsidized for nuclear or fossil fuels, and we're not subsidizing renewables in the same extent. Nuclear power is not viable unless it's subsidized by government.
And one progress with the bill that's in Olympia is in the newer version of the bill, there is language saying to look at the true, like, total cost of nuclear power from beginning to end. So that's including where the uranium is coming from, and that's including the temporary storage of the irradiated spent fuel, because, as I said, there is no permanent storage for this.
Yeah, you really want to look at the life cycle analysis, and what they continue to do with these, they cherry pick what they're looking at. You know, as Danny said, they say, well, nuclear power is carbon free, but you look at just the plant. But that's not the case. If you look at the whole life cycle, the production of uranium, mining uranium, concentration of uranium, enormously power intensive. Paducah, one of the plants in the eastern United States that produce concentrated uranium for the nuclear power plants, is very energy inefficient. And that is one reason we need to move away from nuclear power. And then the waste, how do you deal with the waste? We're still struggling with that.
But the primary proponent from my reading was it's the people that brought us whoops are the ones that are pushing the modular units currently.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we run into all the time. It's, Sid Morrison is now retiring, but he's had a big part of producing and supporting a lot of government support for nuclear power in the Northwest. It's not just him, certainly. The owners, the suppliers, the people that have been in the background and in the foreground, we think that the so-called peaceful atom is a cover for nuclear weapons in many ways. You know, so that if we have the peaceful atom, people will accept and stand back from saying we should have the weapons eradicated because we're having all this power that we rely on. So the friendly atom is not friendly, and it's not cheap.
We need to remember this is a global issue, and we saw this again at Fukushima. You know, that we end up with some of the radiation coming from Fukushima, both the winds blowing over here and the currents in the ocean. We don't know how much radiation is still being released from the Fukushima plant. So we need to look at this globally. We look at India and Pakistan, the nuclear weapons they have. We look at political issues in Iran. A lot of this is driven by nuclear, Korea. So I think we need to look at this and have a global effort to get rid of nuclear power as well as our nuclear weapons.
As well, it seems like monitoring of and measurements of the nuclear facilities could be ramped up significantly. I know at Hanford, they have like a a few like wells that they drill around mm-hmm. The waste tanks. You mentioned previously that the CGS facility, you know, doesn't appear to have much monitoring. We've got, you know, stuff coming over from Fukushima that the state and EPA apparently had like numerous of their detectors off during right. you know that whole incident. So it seems like if we are going to have these facilities around us, the very least we should do is be monitoring them more robustly.
Yeah, absolutely. We need more transparency about that information. And we spend over $2 billion a year at Hanford trying to clean up that mess, and we need to do more monitoring. We could spend a little bit of that money monitoring our food supply, monitoring what's going on at Fukushima. And we got to be more thoughtful about this. We got to be thinking about the future generations and where we're going as a global society. If we released even this minor nuclear exchange, we could threaten starvation of billions of people. It's totally inhumane. Nuclear weapons ultimately are immoral and inhumane material that we need to move away from. And Washington State's got this enormous legacy, and we should all be talking to our state representatives about these issues.
You know, we keep talking about how many different aspects of nuclear we have in Washington. And one of the things is the Bangor subbase where the nuclear submarines are. And so for the whole Cold War, that submarine base was able to operate under one wharf. But now the Navy wants to build the second handling wharf there. Despite the fact the Cold War is over, these submarines aren't, you know, necessary for the U.S.'s defense against current threats, but they want to double the size of it. And they did not do an environmental impact statement, and our organization, along with an organization called Ground Zero, is involved with a lawsuit against the Navy saying that they need to do that.
So the environment is always at risk, and so are the accidents and the economy. So we have it in several ways. Why are we anti-nuclear? Because if we look at the studies and if we see this from an environmental point of view, an earthquake point of view, a site that's been saturated with nuclear waste at Hanford, and the whole issue of how unproductive an electric power generating, nuclear power generating station really is, that really is a condemning factor for nuclear power. It's too risky and it's too expensive to produce electric power for us. We have alternatives that are real. We didn't even mention batteries. You know, this state is now one of the lead researching and producing operations for battery power. Off season, solar and batteries can store it at economic basis. And we haven't really gone into that as much.
You know, I really urge everybody to read up on these issues, get engaged, and talk to your representatives, talk to people around you, and we need to move away from nuclear. We're very lucky to have Physicians for Social Responsibility, as well as Hanford Challenge and Heart of America that work on these issues. I urge you to get involved with them, learn more about Washington State's nuclear legacy, and move to have Washington State nuclear free.
And my understanding is as well that we actually generated, it was last year or the year before, generated so much wind power that they had to take them offline because it was like too much.
They were competing with nuclear.
So yeah, I mean, once you have the nuclear reactor going, it's very difficult to shut it down and restart it. You can't just flip a switch. But with wind, you can. And so they're shutting down the wind turbines to knock electricity from wind so that we could be buying this nuclear power.
$200 million over the cost.
Right. It makes no sense.
And then in terms of environment, I mean, the Bangor base just this week had a 2,000-gallon oil spill.
Right.
Originally 200, but they corrected that.
Yeah, when the Navy originally reported it, they said it was 150, and then the Department of Ecology did some flyovers, and they estimated that's actually 2,000 gallons.
And imagine if that had been a nuclear spill or radiation-related spill and the mess it would have created. We just don't need to take these risks. The benefit is just not there.
Well, and again, getting back to the monitoring, how do we know if there's a radioactive spill?
They haven't invited us on site at all in Bangor.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Gilbert, Tom Buchanan, and Danny Noonan, all with Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. And how can people find out more about your organization? You got a website?
We have a website, WPSR.org.
Yep. Please go to WPSR.org and national organizations, PSR.org. And there's also Hanford Challenge and Heart of America websites.
Or you can even call Danny at the office at 574-206-547-2630.
Our famine report's there, our reports on economic reports and our look at earthquake stuff. We do great work.
Yeah, you do. All right. I want to thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.